Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yo, what is good, people, and welcome back to another episode of Get the Belt podcast, home of melanin, magnificence, and kingdom of motherfucking belts. My name is Miles Hart, and it is very much Pride Month. I'm very much full of the Holy Ghost, that is Beyonce, Giselle Knowles, Carter, bitch. I'm very much full of all of the nice things. I'm very much full of excitement for this month. You know, it's June. It's motherfucking June in this bitch. Very much... halfway through what is 2023, and I'm ready to get into some shits and gids with you guys right here on this podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're new to this show, welcome. Get ready for unfiltered, raw, authentic, unapologetic, queer, you know, black shit. Oh, not this all playing off, playing the things in my ear. Get ready for some unfiltered, just get ready for some real shit, basically. And for those of you that are here again, welcome back. Sorry it's been a minute. I'm motherfucking back, bitch. As you can see, if you're watching this, or like it's a little one of the reels, you're seeing the reels, the little social things, I am in. My Renaissance gear, honey. The cap is capping. And this jacket is my favorite. I've got some thick shorts, but you know, I'm not trying to be doing all of that on this here podcast recording. But let's get straight into the show like we do every single week with Word of the Week. So this week's word of the week is it's never too little and too late. So contrary to what our baby girl JoJo sang, you know, back in the Dizzy about it's just too little too late. Actually, no, this week's word of the week is it's never too late. Never, ever too late. And I was inspired to have this word of the week by the legacy of the late Tina Turner. Rest in peace, baby girl. We'll speak about you later. But one of the things that I really took from her legacy and, you know, her life on this earth is that, you know, it's not ever too late. And I say this because most of her big songs, most of her fame and quote unquote success that we know globally was all achieved quite later on in life. Like, it wasn't when she was a teenager, like, you know, some of these people are doing now, or it wasn't even 20s. Like, I think, let me even just get to Googling. Tina Turner's first world tour. I think she was in her 40s. Do-do-do-do-do-do. So, okay. I I should have done this research a lot sooner, but basically this is a little challenge I can give you guys for word of the week, is to find out how old Anna May was when she went on tour. But I know it was a lot later in life. And so that doesn't also mean that when she was, you know, prior to this success, the success and the fame and all of those things, that does not mean that she was sat at home twiddling her thumbs. No, she was very much grinding, very much working, very much chasing her life's plan or her life's work from a young age. It only, you know, really started to blow later on. So I want us all to remember that just because something isn't blowing right now, you could very much be the next, not the next Tina Turner, but in, you could follow in her footsteps where, you know, she hustled and was grinding, putting out shit, doing the work, and then the success came later on. And that also doesn't now mean that while she was doing that in the early doors, like when she wasn't getting to the money in the same way she was later on in life, that doesn't mean that she necessarily wasn't enjoying it or having fun. Like, if that's what you want to do, she was doing what she wanted to do, it's going to still bring joy. Of course you're going to want the, well, you might want the fame or the level of money or otherworldly things that come with it. But ultimately, she was always doing what she wanted to do. And she wasn't, you know, and she always said, like, I wasn't defined by maybe awards or numbers. As long as she was doing what she wanted to do, she was okay. And I feel like a lot of us get, you know, we end up focusing on the outcome based off of worldly things, awards, money, the things we see other people do and go, oh, I want that. When really, what she wasn't driven by that. Those things just came. She was driven by doing what she just wanted to do. So she did that and it came. So if you are working on anything and you feel like, oh, I'm not getting far or these things aren't coming, just continue to do the things that you enjoy. Put in that work because it is never too late. Word of the week, girls and boys and non-binaries. It is never too late. Never, ever too late. And that is really a testimony that Anna May, aka Tina Turner, left behind with all of her successes that happened and continued to happen at such a late stage in her career. So rest in peace to a bad bitch who paved the way for many a black woman to shake their legs, one of the first ladies of rock and roll. And yeah, also a message for you guys this week. Yeah, that is never too late. So don't you dare give the fuck up, bitch. And that is this week's word of the week. So I am back here with you guys in my Renaissance gear, like I already done shown you. You know, I've got my cap. The cap is very much a capping girl. I love it. Renaissance World Tour 2023. I've got my world tour jacket. You know, I had to cop this motherfucking one. The thing is with me, yeah, and buying like tour merch or merchandise from anything really is, but back in the day I was an absolute prick for it and I would just buy whatever. Like if I had Beyonce's face on it, like if I'm really being honest, that's the only real merch I ever remember getting is Beyonce stuff. I wouldn't wear it. Or I'd wear it and then be like, this doesn't really bang as an outfit, but like at least I'm wearing it to let the people know. Whereas now when I buy merchandise, I'm like, yeah, Beyonce does look cute there. Rather see the bitch on my iPhone screensaver or wherever the fuck. I still want to look good. I still want to look like me. I'm not getting paid to wear this. Number one, I'm not on the tour, so it's not like a costume. Like, give me merch that makes sense. Like, give me merch that I can wear and rock and still feel like me, as opposed to like me at your concert. Because once I've left, I don't need to be looking like I'm at a concert or I'm someone's backup singer or I'm getting paid to wear this. I need it to fit the fit. Yeah. And this merch, not all of it, but a lot of this merch really understood the assignment and gave. So like, if you can see this jacket, again, I'm not getting paid, Beyonce, even though you should be motherfucking paying me. This jacket, like, if you didn't know it was a Beyonce, you know, merch piece, you would see me in the street and just think, oh, what is it giving? Is it Nike? What sports brand? Or, you know, is it a little diesel number? No, bitch, it's very much Beyonce outside all summer 2023, like it says on the pieces. And yeah, this is the kind of shit I want to see from merch. Shit that I can put on after and you not even realize. And the ones that get it. And will be like, yeah, you did your big one getting that purchase. Those kind of things. So yeah, that's a little shout out to anyone putting out merch. Please don't make it like so brand heavy that like it don't make sense. Like make it cute for the people that like to be cute. I've been good. It's been a heavy couple of weeks for me. My grandfather passed. I can't remember that I told you that last time, but my grandfather passed. I think I did, yeah. We had his funeral. That was, do you know what, with the most respect, I'm really on a journey with my like my faith and my religion. I've, for the most part of my adult life, I've always said I'm not religious. I've always said, you know, I've got a faith. Religion is very much man-made, and I don't think that my God is of those things, is not of the man-made way. So like, I don't like being like I'm religious or things like that. I've got a faith. But anyway, I'm on a journey with my faith. And so it started off as being Roman Catholic church. I was getting told off all the motherfucking time at church, all the time. And it's because Miles at 8, 5, 10, I found that shit boring. I find it boring, so I had to find ways to entertain myself. I won't really get in the spirit. I won't really connect with Jesus like that. While, you know, I've got all these old, for the most part, white people just singing out of key, all sounding, and for the most part, looking like they're about to die. Like, singing these... Like... The songs weren't sung in, and just the priest reading from the Bible in some monotone voice. Like, I'm getting distracted easily. Like, you've literally set up the perfect environment and scenario for a child with a small attention span that likes to be challenged and feel engaged. You've set up the perfect scenario for me to now cause havoc in this here church. Like, I am about to make people laugh, find things that are funny, do things I'm not meant to be doing. And I feel like since growing and going to a Pentecostal church and even growing further from there and just all the things, being in that environment again for my grandfather's funeral, where it was just the readings and just again that monotone, I was bored until we got to the moments where like family members got up and actually spoke about granddad. Then I was like, okay, yeah, and I learned things and this was good. But it's like, it was just another reminder for me that ain't no in hell I am gonna be going out with a Catholic service like that for my people thems that want to send me off to be sat there yawning bored going, no, it's going to be litty. I don't know where I'll be in terms of like closer to my dying age, where I sit and how I feel about my faith and how I want to, you know, celebrate my life. I don't know if it'll be in a church, bitch. It might be in a club. I don't know how the fuck I'm going, but it definitely is not finna be like that. And I love that my granddad had it because, you know, he was from the start to the finish, that man was a Catholic man, very by the book. He loved that shit. So I'm glad for him that is how it went. But for me, you're not about to be doing all them readings and the thou here, there, thou, though. No, a priest that didn't really know me to chatting from the book about, no, it's going to be very different. But yeah, It was really good to put my granddad to rest. We buried him. The sing songs was nice. And like I said earlier, like some fan members got up and spoke about my grandfather and like the instrumental, you know, role he played in the Catholic Church here in the UK after like, you know, being an immigrant from India. He was one of the founders of, what was that thing called? I should have wrote this down. Oh, Jesus. He was one of the founders for the Black Catholics something. He received awards from the Pope for making the church more diverse. Like, he did a lot and all. And I'm thinking, why are we only hearing about this now? Like, I knew my granddad was very involved in the church from when we were younger. I'd see him writing things and was involved in CAFOD and sending money here and would go and do excursions and go do talks in different places. But I didn't know he was like one of the CEOs and founders of like some of these things and that the Pope gave him an award and shit. Like, I don't know all of that. I thought, how are we only finding out this now? But yeah, I learned a lot about my grandfather that I didn't know about before. And it was just nice to put him to rest. And we rested his coffin on top of our grandmother's who passed years ago. So it was nice for them two to be reunited. You know, there was jokes around the family about how grandma was like, oh, what took you so long, John? She had more of an Indian accent than him. She had an Injun accent. I-N-J-U-N, Injun. She was Injun. She was like, John, what has taken you so long? Whereas my grandfather was notoriously known for speaking very much like an English man, doing up telephone voice, walking into a motherfucker looking like Gandhi and people being like, no, I'm sorry, but we were speaking with Mr. Hart. Can't be you. And him being like, yes, it is ho. He wouldn't say ho. That wasn't his lingo, but you know what I'm saying. But yeah, anyway, there were jokes about grandma being like, what took you so long, John? I've got a list of chores for you. And then him be like, oh, bloody hell. Like, yeah. But it was cute. Nice to see all different walks of family. All different types of family members from both sides. Both my mum and my dad. And yeah, that was nice. And other things were cute. You know, introducing people to other people was nice. Like, introducing my partner to more members of the family was really cute. There were some family members there that I was a bit like... But you know me, I had to put my grandfather above all of that, which I will do at any kind of family event. And just be respectful and just, like I was raised to be a respectful ass nigga. So I'm going to do that. I don't need to do the most. I also don't need to go the other way and do the least. But what I can do is meet you in the middle and keep it moving, which is what I did. So growth. But yeah, cute funeral. That was nice. Nice to see family and all of that. What else had happened this week? I fucked up my shins running for the Beyonce concert, but we'll talk about that later. Oh my God. I had the 10-year Book of Mormon anniversary, which was really, really nice. There was a lot of people there, lots of people I didn't know, lots of people that like I care for, but there's also people that I don't really care for. So again, it's that situation where, you know, I don't want to do the most, but I don't want to do the least. It's a professional situation, so I've just got to keep it cute. And I really thank God for, like, gang, like Savannah, Robin, Madison, James, like my people them from, like, my second year there. We were all able to, like, be together. I would have spoken about these niggas before in a different podcast, but they, my friends, they like really good actors, singers, dancers, everything. But we met from Book of Mormon, so to come together all dressed up. It was at the Shard, girl. You know, I had on my nice Salt Murphy suit on. People were like, oh, you look so good. I thought, yeah, I do. Not me not getting one picture. I'm so used now to just not taking pictures, and I need to stop this because I've had so many people cussing me out. How miles have you been to Beyonce, been on holiday, done a whole 10-year anniversary, done all of these things, and we've not seen one picture? We saw like one picture from your holiday, like one. Have you done all of this? And I'm just like, do you know what? It's so true. So I'm trying to really get on back on my socials again. But that was a cute party. It was lovely to see so many people that I like and have so many flashbacks. And, you know, as I've said, I'm leaving the Book of Mormon in 4 months. So it was a nice reminder of all the people I've worked with and all the years that I've been there and the journey I've been on and where I'm at now. And that was really cute. And yeah, to see my friends there reminded me of the amazing friends that I've made on this like incredible journey as well. So that's exciting. But yeah, before I, because I don't want to be here for too much longer because I got another long day. So let's get to Miles Measures. No, that's a lie. It's now time for Melanin Magnificence. My Melanin Magnificence this week goes to Niger Boy, Burner Boy. Now, I'm giving it to him not just because he's Nigerian and magnificent. However, I'm giving it to him because over this weekend, he broke history and became the first ever British, became the first ever African to sell out a UK stadium. And that was on his tour that he's currently on right now, selling a stadium that had a capacity of 80,000. Yeah, that's right, 80,000. So the Grammy Award-winning African artist broke history and made history with that recent tour kicking off. And yeah, I just think it's fucking great. He's Nigerian, he's doing his things. Can't lie, I've not actually listened to a lot of Burna Boy recently. I don't even know why. So congratulations to you, Burna Boy, for achieving that. And breaking history and making history with becoming the first ever African to sell out a UK stadium. Melanin Magnificence goes to you, big man. Go on, Burna Boy. You, Niger Boy.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
So now it is time for Miles Measures. Right. So let's just start off straight away. Oh, not the big, the bangs on the mic. So it's Pride. It's Pride here in London for the June. June is our Pride month. Is it? Yeah. Or is it America? I can't remember. All I know is Pride somewhere, bitch. It's Pride somewhere, bitch. So happy Pride month. Pride is every day, really. It needs to be every day. It's just, you know, that one time where we focus on it and shine a light on the issues surrounding, you know, members of the LGBTQ, LMNOP, DL community. And just shine a light on issues, shine a light on things that have developed and become better, the advancements we've made in the community, and for the allies around us that are learning more. We're learning. I'm a part of the LGBTQ DL community, and I'm still learning every day that this is incorrect and that's the term for this. And you know, I still have questions, I guess, and still sometimes flop between the two words, like, am I gay ass nigga, am I bi? Like, I feel I've said this before on the show before, where I feel like if I say I'm bi, then the fact that I've been in love with girls and enjoyed sex with girls and had sex and could have sex again with a girl and would enjoy that, I then feel like, can I be gay and saying that because I got gay friends that ain't never and would never have sex with a girl? Then I got people, then I'm being bi and I'm like, oh, but really right now all I'm into is dick, and it's like, whoa. So am I bi? I don't know. So sometimes it is easier to be like queer. I'm figuring it out still. It's basically what I'm saying. And that's okay. And that's great. And it is what it is. And all I do know, one thing is for certain, is that I ain't no straight nigga. So let me celebrate pride, whatever that may look like, where whatever box I fit into or whatever box you guys fit into. Hell. So, yeah, I'm excited for Pride. I've not really got any Pride events lined up. I would say my kickoff to Pride was Beyonce. Yeah, Beyonce is very much on tour, like you saw before. I'm wearing my merch, and I feel like you can hear me touching all of these clothes because this mic is strong. But yeah, Beyonce's on tour. That is how I started off my Pride month, because as we know, the album was a celebratory moment for queer culture. It was a gift to us and for us. And the album Renaissance, it's by so many queer people, like from T.S. Madison on Cozy to Grace Jones on Energy, and you know, it's full of it. And to go and see that tour where the dancers are not, you know, Beyonce's normal dancers, like she did say prior, or she'll be re-auditioning to give other people a chance. But what is also really good to see is that diversity behind her. And I don't mean diversity as in just black and brown people or just queer people. I mean white, Asian, black, mixed, Latino, gay, straight, openly queer, god, lesbian, all, like, she got all the motherfucking colours of the rainbow behind her. Blue, black, white and brown. She meant it when she said, you know, all the colours of the LGBTQ DL flag on the motherfucking song. She meant it. And, you know, that tour, the Renaissance World Tour, was a real party. That's what I've described it as. It's a real party. I went there and, yes, I was watching her perform, but ultimately I was like, it felt like I was at a rave, or like, it just felt like a real safe space where you could just drop it like a thotty, you know? I might as well tell you guys what I thought about it. I thought it was amazing. Now, I'm going to keep it 1,000 because, you know I stan, but you also know I keep it real. And there were moments where I could see that my girl was miming, but that's okay, you know, we're 41, 42, you know, we're a live performer, and sometimes in live performances, singers do a little bit of miming, and that's okay, as long as it's not the whole thing. So I noticed that, you know, she had a little teleprompter. She was getting some of the things wrong sometimes, especially the heated thing. Now, I know it's difficult, sis. I know it's difficult, and I know that lyrics have never really been your forte from Destiny's Child times. But it's cute. I find it endearing that she doesn't quite get it right all the time. And it also humanizes her. You know, we go there and people often go, oh, she's not perfect. She's not perfect. Like, she and we accept that she's not perfect. And when I'm out here trying to be like, oh, yeah, Beyonce's good at this and good at that. Look at the talk. Look at this. Blah, 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 blah. All people want to be fighting me like, she's not perfect. She's not perfect. But the one time I come out and go, I find it endearing that she's not perfect, that's when people want to be like, well, no, she should be knowing. Is that, but you guys have also been the people to tell me that Beyonce's not perfect. Getting on at me for being like, she's not, getting on at me for, in your words, quote unquote, making out like she's perfect. The one time I'm like letting you have it and going, you know what? Well, yes, she forgets the words. You guys said, oh, it's not good enough. Then if she did all these things, then she would be perfect. And then you guys would be, I don't know if this is making sense, but it'd be the people that are hating on her saying she's not perfect that are now out here trying to make her be perfect by saying, well, she got this wrong. Is that, oh my God, can she win? Anyway, I find it endearing that she, you know, was forgetting the heated little breakdown moment. I love the costumes. They were colourful. This, obviously, all of the silver stuff, very alien superstar. I went in a cute little fit as well, but haven't posted a picture because I didn't actually take one. I've got some of me and my man in the car on the way. Ugh. Eating our burgers on the way. It took us 2 hours and a bit. This is meant to be a 45 minute drive, but because of traffic due to, I think there's an accident, and I think it's actually just the fact that Beyonce was in the UK performing, traffic was wild, so it took us 2 hours. We ended up being late, yeah, by a fair bit, like 8 minutes. That's a lot for me. Like, I paid a lot of money to go and see that hosting. So when we got there and the traffic, we could see the stadium in the distance and the windows were down, so I could hear my bitch singing Flaws and All. I said, we're jumping out this motherfucking Uber right now. And I was in a little Cuban heel, like maybe 2 inches, 3 inches. I don't know. Like, it wasn't no stiletto, but it was still a heel. I don't really be wearing heels. When I say I went from sat down for 2 hours doing nothing to doing up on hardwood floors, it was giving on hardwood. My shins. Why can I? My shins was hurting me, Steph London, by the end of the show. By the next day, couldn't walk. Voice gone. Shin splints. Because of the Renaissance World Tour. Happy Pride Month. Was it worth it? Yeah. Would I do it again? Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, loved the show. I didn't actually get to see Blue. I was a bit disappointed. I was. I can't lie. However, I have seen some of the comments, which I don't really agree with, or I understand some of them, but you know, Blue Ivy came out and she did a little dance, and there's been mixed reviews to it. For the most part, they've been like positive and just, you know, encouraging, like, yes, Blue, slay, digga, 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 whatever. This 12-year-old, you know, black girl, daughter of Beyonce and Jay-Z, come out and danced the choreography of, you know, booked professional dancers with experience, and she was at the forefront of it. And the comments that weren't so, you know, supportive were hateful. I see it's hateful. And then there are people that are also just saying, oh, how can you be, you know, Beyonce's daughter, have all the access to this and come out and just do that? Like, if I was Beyonce, I just wouldn't have let her do it, because I could see that, you know, that's not what is given. Like, she's not given. And I will be the first to hold up my hand and say, yeah, the girl's a bit stiff. She was stiff. But I also didn't okay, it would have been a gag. It would have been a gag had she come out and really, really killed it. Because, like, I also am very much aware, because of social media, that there are little boys and girls at 12 or whatnot that be up in these dance studios eating choreography, eating it. But also, just because you're someone's son or daughter, doesn't that mean you will be a certain way? Look at fucking Prince Harry. Is he the same way his parents were? No, he's surrounded by all of that, but he ain't fucking with certain things. He's very, very different. Like, it's not all just genetics. Do you get me? So, yes, it's not just genetics, and it's not just access or being around certain things. But it is what it is. I don't feel like there's a need to voice a negative opinion when really it's got nothing to do with you and it doesn't affect you. But it is what it is. Do it. Do it. I don't agree with it. What I saw and what I took from Blue Ivy and her purpose to me, is that, you know, when Blue Ivy first came out, there was all this hate about how she only looked like her daddy, how she was going to be ugly, how she was ugly, all this hate about, look, her, she ain't got no edges, nappy head, look how wide her nose is, she looked like a monkey, all of this hate before she could even do shit. And she's gone on to buy more artwork than any motherfuckers could ever afford. And she's also come out to dance for her mum, who is Beyonce. And she kept up. She kept up. So to be a 12-year-old performing in front of over 60,000 people, at some points over 80,000 people, to be a 12-year-old to do that, not have, you know, gone to fucking dance school for 3 years at that vocational level, because she's 12. Yeah, you might have access, but she ain't done certain things that the other dancers may have done. The other dancers may have been on previous tours. The other dancers had the, you know, the luxury to not be so famous, to just hop to a class regularly before booking this job, to train. This girl also went through hate that was trending globally. Ain't none of these dancers, not even fucking Honey Prada or Honey Balenciaga, not even she's but they haven't even like trended worldwide to the point where they're a household name for hateful reasons in the same way that Blue was. So for Blue to have gone through all of this, already have that pressure of being Beyonce and Jay-Z's daughter, and then the pressure of performing, to come out, not fuck up the choreo in the same way her mother was fucking up the lyrics, but to still do it, I thought and still think, like, speaks way more than just, oh, this is a young black girl who's only 12 and is an amazing dancer. I don't feel like that was the message or the purpose behind her coming out. I feel it was more of, look at this young black girl who went through so much hate, who is coming out and doing something that she enjoys, and you're all here gagging for it, for the most part, in the audience. Like, that to me was, give it up for this young black girl who went through hate, was cussed out about her edges, whatever, all of these horrible things. She's out here, and I'm proud of my daughter because I love her, and she's still strong, and she's still here. I thought it was very cute. But yeah, shout out to you, Blue. Would have given you Melanin Magnificence, but we had to shout out Mr. Burnta Boy. But yeah, love the tour. The vocals were great. I really liked her fucking her, what's that thing when you tribute to Tina Turner. That was cute. I love the dance breaks and all those things. However, I did buy a VIP ticket. Me and my friends and my mum, we got VIP tickets, and yeah, I like the hat and the little things that we got with it, but I did think I was a bit too far away, can't lie. I did think I was a bit far away. I expected the VIP ticket to be closer, and I wasn't. Was a bit disappointed with that. Still had a great time. Still had a great time. And there's more. She's, you know, touring, like she said, outside all summer 2023. And I think the end of the tour is September. So there's an opportunity to go and see her in another city or country. So I just might. Anywho, what else did I want to talk about? I Kissed a Boy. Obviously, we had Shibomi on the show a couple of weeks back, and the series has gone on. It's not come to a finish just yet, I don't think. I think it's got like one or two more episodes left. But there was only 8 episodes, I think, that were released. And it is coming to an end, and there is confirmation of a reunion happening. I've yet to finish off the last few episodes. I'm still really enjoying it. And I don't think it was long enough. I don't think we've seen enough. And, you know, I did get some inside scoop from someone that wasn't Shibomi, but someone who knows someone that worked on the show. And they were just telling me that the guys on the show, the men on the show, the contestants, were told to be a bit more entertaining as it got to the point during filming where they were just very much just lying around sunbathing, and they were like, push to just give a bit more, because ultimately it's an entertainment, a dating show, it's an entertainment show for us. Yeah, find love, be on holiday, but also we're creating content here, and the content isn't you just sitting down and sunbathing. So Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I think, representation, great, love it. Great way to end off Pride. There's a spin-off coming for girls, but it needs to be longer. The episodes themselves, I think, could be a bit longer, or it just needed to be filmed for longer, because, like, how are we, like, coupling up and it's been, like, a day or two, and then all of a sudden now we're like, making decisions based off of, like, the couplings. Is like they've not had time to get to even know each other properly yet. Like, it just seems a bit rushed, dude. It just seems a bit rushed. So next time, give them more time. I think, yeah, some people have said that the representation has been too great, and I think it has, for the most part. There really is only so much you can do, and I feel like, you know, they've got some light skins in there, they've got some mixed race people in there, they've got bigger bodies, smaller bodies, muscly bodies, skinny bodies, tall niggas, short niggas, you know, they got a motherfucker with a lisp in that bitch too. So, like, I feel like, yeah, that, like, for the, they did their thing, they did a good job at starting off with the whole let's be representative of the LGBTQ community. And also, you know, they've got people in there that the views are very all much diversified as well. Like, some people have said, oh, they're into open stuff. Some people have said, I'm more of a relationship person. And one person, like, is initially attracted by the looks. We've had that guy that entered towards the end that was just evicted after, like, a day or two. Who was like, oh, I don't get initial physical attraction. It starts off from getting to know people. Like, we've got quite a fair bit. So props to you, BBC Three. Get me on board next time, though, yeah? Not for the lesbians, them. You can give that to Drea or someone or whoever wants to be involved in that. But me, get me involved next time. But yeah, enjoying it. Don't know who's going to win. I can't even remember whether there was, like, a prize or I don't know, but I'm enjoying it. You know, it's cute. It's something for the gays and the LGBTQ DL plus community to, like, talk about in the workplace as opposed to just the Love Islands. And to talk about these straight people that we talk about all the motherfucking time, ho. But yeah, I will be watching that this week and seeing what more happens. There's a couple of people that I really don't like. I don't really like how that Ginger one Iguan. I feel like he's a bit too much for me. I feel like looking for the drama. I feel like he had a bit of a vengeance against it. Was it Ben, the one that he told him he liked, and then Ben responded, if that's even his name, was like, yeah, I don't really like you like that. Then ever since then, I feel like he's had a vendetta against him, and he's been also hopping from this person to that. Great for TV, though. Stunning for TV. Yeah, that's all I can think of right now on that. But once again, groundbreaking for the gay scene here in the UK. First ever gay dating show. Wow, words. Let's keep it stepping, honey, because we'll be here forever and ever and ever. But yeah. They want to bring back Danny as well, and I don't know whether I really like Danny. I've got to keep it 100. Danny Minogue, the presenter, I feel like it's all a bit forced. I feel like it is a bit forced. It doesn't feel that authentic. She doesn't really feel that engaged. Yeah, the gowns are cute for them. Some of them are cute. Some of them are just like, meh. It just seems a bit forced with Danny Minogue. I cannot lie. Like, I feel like, yeah, the majority of the white gays might go up for her music, but I couldn't tell you one Kylie Minogue song. But yeah, I would like to see someone else doing that. Who would I like to see? Me? Or I don't know. Ooh, British. I can't think. Well, I think she's come back for season two anyway, but yeah. It's just not like, oh yes, like perfect for it. Like, she's okay, a bit annoying at times and forced, but yeah. Anyway, not me repeating myself. So the Caribbean countries are set So some Caribbean countries are set to replace statues of colonizers with freedom fighters. Now, this I read from the Voice newspaper. And for me, it's giving about time. Why? Like, when you really deep it, like, yes, it's all institutional racism. It's white supremacy, like, literally in the physical form. To have an oppressor, to have someone that is literally broken and spat on human rights by objectifying and putting people into slavery, like, to have a statue of someone that does that is glorifying all that we're fighting against and all that we've actually moved on from to a certain extent. So to have those statues up, unless it says fuck you at the bottom, I don't get, like, why, you know, there'd be statues, like, in reverence of these kind of characters in history that are, like, so evil and problematic. So shout out to the Caribbean countries that are deciding to rip them hoes down and put up freedom fighters. Yes, so I'm reading this from the Voice newspaper. It says Jamaica's Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Foreign Trade, Orlando Terralong, made the demand while speaking on reparatory justice at the United Nations headquarters in New York. Mr. Terralong called for the removal of monuments and place names linked to slavery and for Caribbean freedom fighters to be honored. He went on to say, it behooves us in the Caribbean to erect similar monuments. Tear down those monuments of old and erect new ones. Remove certain colonial names as well from our buildings and our streets and put new ones forward so that we are not telling the stories of the oppressors, but telling the stories of our freedom fighters. I'm very excited to see what these kind of statues are going to look like, who they're going to choose, and the stories that will be learned and told, the correct stories that will be learned and told for the people that deserve it. Like, let's still tell these fucking cunts their stories of these colonizers, like fucking, what's that one in Bristol that they pulled down? Brunel? Can't remember, don't give a fuck. But those kind, like, let's remember them hoes, but like how I remember them, like, not really, just as some cunt, but let's remember the names, let's say the names, let's know the faces of the freedom fighters, you know what I mean? What else? Spoke about it. Right. I want to speak on this prankster, this Mizzy. Is it Mizzy? Young black boy got famous for the stupid pranks where he ran up in some people them house. I think it is Mizzy. Yeah, Mizzy. Now, he's been doing since, right, this is old news now in terms of, like, the things that he's done. But what is currently, like, going on is, you know, his back and forth with presenters that have maybe had them on his platform to discuss all the things that he's been doing, and, like, you know, recently with ZZ Mills, she called him out and stuff. And I just think he's accepted finally what he's done is wrong, and I'm very glad he got his mother to speak out, or, like, she came out and said, you know what, I also don't agree, because it got to the point where people were just chatting, going, oh, what about his mother, blah, blah, blah. Which also just goes to reiterate my point when I was discussing with Blue Ivy, that it doesn't matter about your surroundings or who your parents are. You can sometimes come out and be completely different. Like it's not a given. So, yeah, my thing is with this Mizzy is he is doing everything that older young people, I think, are doing, but at the extreme. I do think he got noticed because of his colour and the extremities of what he was doing, but I definitely think him being a black boy helped that skyrocket. And it was never a good rocket to be on, Mizzy, to be honest, like, you shouldn't be running up in people's yards, but ultimately, this is what the young people are doing. If you type in, like, the hashtag of the pranks that he did, there are many other people doing them, and it doesn't make it right. It's still very fucked up and wrong. I don't agree with how people are talking to him. Like, there was one interview where some man just was like, get out. No, what are you doing? Because you're glaring at someone. And I just saw him just looking at the girl that was asking him a question. I do think he's getting treated a bit unfairly, and people are really using this as a way to, like, let go of certain things and just let that aggression out on him, because ultimately he has turned around and said, you know what, I'm sorry, and I'm not that person anymore, and however, he is running with the narrative that he, the only reason why this is happening to him is because he's black. I don't agree with that. I feel like him being a black boy doing what everyone else is doing helped it get noticed and get the traction. And I do think it's also the reason why they are speaking to him mad on some of these programs. But ultimately, what you did was fucked up. What you did was fucked up. What he did was wild. And the vim and the fire that you've literally conjured up is all deserved. But I don't think, yeah, I definitely feel like there is some factor of his color around, like, the fact that he's getting dashed out of places. Like, he's chatting shit and nonsense for the most part. I saw a few clips on that Piers Morgan show and I had to turn it off before. I don't want to play into this, like, this is all too much for me. But, yeah, he needs to come with that same energy. Like, you can be apologetic, but that same energy you had, like, keep it going. And if you're now apologetic about it and you have seen that what you've done was fucked up and wrong, keep that same energy in the apologies as well. Don't be storming off. Don't be doing, oh, well, now this is just because I'm black, because it's not just because you're black. Yeah, you are getting certain things because you're a black man. And if you're aware that you were a black man before you did this, maybe you would have been known, you would have known a bit better, because you would have foreseen this. But you was acting mad, you was acting wayward. This really makes me think, do I want my kids on social media? I do, because I'm just going to parent them when I see them. Oof, that's giving that his mum wasn't parenting him. I will have my kids on social media, but I'm going to just be more mindful of it. And if they start acting up, phones getting taken away, you know, them kind of things. That's all I've got to say on the matter. I think it's a bit of a, is a shame. Well done, he's made a name for himself from a fucked up place, but let's see if he can turn it around. I think he was saying that he does want to start doing stuff to help other people, like, not do similar things that he did. Great. Great. Let's focus more on those kind of things. Lastly, so there was a pregnant trans man that went on to Glamour UK, a magazine that was the front cover of it. Logan Brown. Now, it's an image of him with his belly. Obviously, he was born as a female and transitioned to male. That's how he lives. And he accidentally got pregnant with his partner. And here they are. And here he is on the front cover of a magazine. And he's received a lot of hate saying that men can get pregnant and just some awful, awful things. I really don't get why y'all are so mad. Trans people have been existing. They very much exist now. And as you can see, that person is a man. They identify as a man. They present as a man. They're also pregnant. So all this, you can't be a man and get pregnant. You can. It's literally on the front cover of a magazine. What the fuck? Stop coming with your archaic, you know, archaic views and perpetuating such brutal bigotry. Like, just because you don't fuck with something, like, all this hate, like, just stop, bruv. Like, for this one month, like Pride Month, just don't let your fucking smelly dick, like, come out of your own mouth. Like, it's just disgusting. Like, it's a great thing to see. It does question many of the norms that we have. Even for me, I'm like, whoa, I didn't see this growing up unless it was a sci-fi film. But you know what? This is what is out there in our world. This is the real world. And this is the world we live in. So I'm not going to just deny it when I can see it it's not hurting anyone. It's people's lived experiences. Why disrespect that and flood it with hate when all hopefully they do is raise their child with love as two men? I find it really quite straightforward. As confusing as it is, and like it's shifting what I knew to be normal, I'm coming at it with like a, okay, love is love. I ain't trying to fuck with no one. I'm not trying to hurt no one. As long as there ain't nobody doing that to me or to anyone else, I fuck with it, and I'm going to respect you and I'm going to love on you. And that is what it is. But this is the reason why we have pride. And this is the reason why T is very much in the LGBTQ plus DL community, because we're still not free. We're still not free. They're still not free. And they are included in it. And they are part of us. So we need to stand for our trans brothers and sisters. And trans non-binds as well. So, lastly. Do you know what, actually? That is actually all I'm going to do for Miles Measures. It's now time for Get the Belt. It is now time for Get the Belt. And my belt this week is so quick. So easy, it will take the whole of 2 minutes, if that. Philip Schofield, Holly Willababa, every motherfucker down at ITV that knew, and anyone in the industry that knew, anyone that was aware of this situation, all of you get the belt. Philip, you get it just for being wild and doing what you were doing. Like, I feel like you misused the whole coming out. Remember when he came out? I think I might have even said, oh, do you know what, props to him. Even though I feel like maybe we all kind of knew, because the only time I ever really knew that Philip Schofield had a wife was when he came out and said he liked dick. So that's the that on that. However, the grooming, that you're saying you didn't do no grooming, I'm sorry, but you met this boy when he was 15 years old and you were very much in your 30s. That's disgusting. That's disgusting. Yeah, you're alleging and claiming you didn't do anything at that age. You also alleged to be straight for all of those years. You also alleged that when these rumors came out, you know, you claimed to it all be false. So for me, everything you've got to say at this point, Phil, Mr. Philip, redundant, useless, I don't warrant, get out, no legs to stand on. Don't trust you. I feel like Holly knew. I feel like all the execs knew. I feel like everybody knew, but they just wanted to keep on to their coin. So they allowed that to happen. They allowed the grooming of a young boy, potentially the sexual assault of a young boy. And shut up, Siri. And just because, yeah, it might not have been illegal at the time, I think because he was 16 when the meetings were happening. I don't know. It's been claimed that it's not illegal, but it was just highly inappropriate. It is highly inappropriate and it's disgusting. And even if you're telling the truth, yeah, and you never did anything until he was 18, 19, wherever, the fact that you can meet someone at such a young age and then have a sexual thing, to me, gives disgusting. It was in your head before. I don't fucks with it. Like I said, Holly, all of these people that knew, and it's so bad that you did, and you were all just laying low on it and just keeping your mouth shut so you could all go about as normal and get your checks. The network wouldn't be in danger. The show wouldn't be in danger. None of you would be in danger. I feel like that's exactly what happened. I will believe nothing but that. And then I saw something come out about Holly saying, oh, how are you guys? For one, I don't watch that show. Unless it's trending for wild shit. I don't really watch it. Why are you asking me how I'm doing? This ain't got shit to do with me. This is all of you man's business. All of you man's business. Yeah? I feel like the way people are handling this, I think it's odd. I think it's odd. I think it's icky. It gives me icky wicky vibes. You all should really be fired, to be honest. Even, I'm sorry, you should all be fired. All of you. Apparently there's investigations going on, internal and external. I don't trust none of these people, but yeah, sure. Let the investigation happen. Let's see what the findings are. But yeah, this whole situation gets the belt. Everyone that knew gets the belt. And I'm done. Like, I'm done. I don't really want to hear any more about it. It's all wild. It's all crazy. And you all look like ridiculous. You all look ridiculous right now. You all look absolutely tonto, estúpido. Not for me. Anyway, that is this week's episode done. Thank you so much for joining me. If you've got any questions or you want to send something in, you want to tell me about your things that you love about Pride or whatever, like, tell me your favorite Pride stories or like whatever the fuck. Send that to contact@getthebeltpod.com, or you can like DM the show, send a voice note, whatever. But yeah, you've been listening to the podcast that's known as Home of Melanin Magnificence and Kingdom of Belts. My name is Miles Hart. I'm your host. Thank you so much for listening. And you have been listening to Get the Belt.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.